you pull me back to you? Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Today's episode is going to be so good. We're talking to someone who went from preaching sermons on Sunday mornings to celebrating solstices and full moons.
Yep. We're diving into the journey from pastor to druid. And before you clutch your pearls, chill, it's okay. We're not summoning spirits over here. We're just having conversation about how faith can evolve in ways that people don't expect.
Exactly. So grab your tea, your crystals, or your communion wine. We don't judge here. And let's get into it.
And welcome, Chris. And we're so excited to have you today.
Hello, hello. I did exactly what y'all say. I grabbed my tea.
That is awesome. You are ready to go. And I am so excited for it. We are just thrilled to have you here with us today. So I want to just start off, rip the Band-Aid. So let's go back to the beginning of your journey. What first made you want to become a pastor? Like, did you feel called or did you kind of fall into the ministry?
Well, Heather, you know, I was, first of all, born and raised into the church. I was groomed to be a pastor. I come from a line of pastors, you know, and was it a calling? Not really. It was just more of a setup, if you will.
This is what you will do, right? Because your dad was a pastor, your granddaddy was a pastor, so that's just what you should become.
Well, my uncles were pastors. I had a great uncle that was a pastor. I had an uncle that was a pastor. I had a grandmother that was a pastor. And so, you know, my dad kind of skipped him a little bit. My dad, and I'm proud of where I come from, don't get me wrong. My parents, you know, my dad's got a fifth grade education. But for me, it was more of, you know, this is what you need to do, you know. And so, yeah, it was kind of like that.
What kind of church were you in? Were you like more fire and brimstone or Jesus loves you, no matter what your vibe was? Give us a setup of your childhood and your early years of religion.
Okay, so coming up, I was born into a independent fundamentalist Baptist church home. Now we were not the Duggars. We were not those people. But we were country. We were very small Baptist, you know, King James 1611 Bible thumping. Our pastor was hellfire and brimstone. We were a very tight knit church community, you know, and, you know, unlike a lot of people, I can say that unlike a lot of Christians, it was instilled in me from early childhood up to study the scriptures, to show thyself approved.
Yes.
And I guess that's what started my journey. You know, at 15, I announced my call, if you will, to preach. And my first sermon, I preached a 15-minute sermonette, I guess, on the woman at the well. And, you know, it just went from there.
So what did you love most about being a pastor, and what made you start side-eyeing the whole thing?
So what I loved the most about being a pastor was service. I loved the fact that I could help people, that I could, you know, teach people, I could reach people. And, you know, that's just the kind of person I've always been. I've always been the kind of person that loves service to others. And to me, that's what a pastor is supposed to do, is serve their congregation, serve others in need. And of course, I mean, you see it today. Where's that at?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, of course, it's crazy because you've got all these mega churches. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is one of the larger cities in Tennessee. And you've got all of these mega churches We've got a lot of mega churches in Tennessee. One of them's world famous. It's Abba's House here in Chattanooga. And I'm sure you guys have heard of that one, if nothing else. But it's crazy because those churches have the funds to help people.
Absolutely.
But it's the little bitty churches in our area that is actually helps people. It's the little bitty churches that have the food pantries. It's the little bitty churches that pay the grandmother's power bill when she's needing help with her power bill because, you know, of course, she hasn't got her check.
Statistically speaking, you know, when you look at churches as a whole across America, if every church in America was to help two houseless people, we would have none. And same goes for children in the foster care system. In fact, if every church was to help too, there wouldn't even be enough children for them to help. So, you know, when you look at the numbers compared to what it is that these churches are actually doing, it's a lot like you said. The mega churches are dropping the ball every single time. Only about 5% of what they take in goes back out into their local communities. And they're raking in millions every year while their local communities are full of houseless people and hungry people and all these things. And it's so hypocritical based on the teachings of Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah.
Let's be honest, they're right outside on their doorsteps. If you go downtown Detroit to these big churches, you will see the people sitting on the doorsteps of the church that the church doesn't even have to go anywhere. They just have to open their doors and help. And that's not being done.
Nope.
No, it's not. And you know, that's one thing because I remember several times I would go to my congregation and as a pastor, yes, I was the leader of the church, but I also had a congregation to answer to as to what we're going to do with the funds. I had a council to answer to. What are we doing with the funds? You know, churches are run like businesses.
Yes, they are.
And they have to be because you're dealing with money. And, you know, let's make no mistake about it. Church is a big business.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember going before my congregation and saying, okay, we need to form a benevolence fund. We need to form a food pantry. We need to do the works that Jesus called us to do. Jesus Christ, it's funny because, you know, it's sad. I say it's funny, but it's also sad at the same time. You hear all these churches, they preaching against, you know, homosexuality. They're preaching against, you know, this, that, and the other. Things Jesus never preached against.
Yep. They're never preaching against racism or poverty or people not helping and meeting their community's needs.
And they don't realize that the Messiah that they honor and they worship, he was an immigrant and he was brown skinned.
Yes, yes. And he was from Palestine. So, let's just throw the nail in the coffin. Hello, let's do the whole thing.
Let's go ahead and rip that Band-Aid off. He was a Palestinian. You know, we have to go there because they're putting words into the mouth of Christ.
Yes, they are. And they're contorting his gospel. They're twisting his gospel to uphold violence and oppression and abuse, you know, and it's the people who pay the price. It's the people who are the victims of that broken theology.
Yes. And, you know, back in my day as a pastor, you know, I say it like it's been so many years ago. And it's not really been that long ago that I was behind a pulpit on Sunday morning. I would have been on a pulpit today, you know. But, you know, it's crazy because we had in our church, in our organization, an understanding of anointing, you know. And when I sit back and I hear these Christians say how anointed certain people in our government are, it makes me cringe.
Yes.
Because people who are anointed and understand, in Druidry, we have an understanding. We understand what anointing actually is. It's chosen.
Yes.
And I don't think that the universe for one moment would anoint somebody to take away assistance from needy children and families.
Amen.
Run away people who look like him.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Chris, because let's face it, we know church folks can wear us out. Was there a moment when you thought, I don't know if I can ever do this, if I can ever do this again, or if I can do this forever?
Well, that's a good segue into my story.
Go ahead.
You know, I okay, so first of all, let's just say I am a proud gay man.
Okay. Awesome. We all are. We love
I have a
the
partner. I have a partner. We've been together for 2 years. You know, we love each other. We share spirituality together, and that's what a good partnership's all about.
Amen. I agree.
But having grown up, see, I was raised Baptist, but I ended up in the Apostolic Pentecostal Church, which is, you know, Tamara was
Oh,
Apostolic
wow. Oh,
Pentecostal.
wow.
I was eventually part of the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ, ALJC, which is an ultra conservative Pentecostal group. Most of them don't have televisions, even.
Yeah.
So, and I had married a woman, and I have been married twice to women. But understand, as an LGBT person in the church, you do what you have to do to survive.
Yes.
And sometimes that includes marrying people that you shouldn't be marrying.
Amen. Yes, it happens all the time.
It's called a cover-up.
Yep.
And
Yes.
I'm not throwing shade on that because some people have to live like that. But I had married twice. The first one was crazy. The second one made her look sane. I met my second wife in a Pentecostal church. She was the piano player. She was a singer, had a beautiful voice, you know, singing, playing the piano. She was awesome in that area. You know, I dare not take anyone's talent away from them. But 3 months into our marriage, she began to be very abusive,
Oh no.
physically to me. And it she actually, because I was also not just a pastor, but I was a corrections officer with the state of Georgia. I worked 10, 12-hour shifts every day,
Wow.
leaving my daughter with someone who I should have been able to trust. But when I come to find out, she was even being abusive to her.
Oh no.
And so I was 3 months into our marriage, I was slapped for the first time by my wife. And of course, as a lot of people who go through those DV issues do, I made excuses for her. I really was trying to preserve my spot within the church.
Yeah, because that is something that would be looked upon very, very negatively with you being a pastor. Abuse is something that isn't even taken seriously enough within religious spaces as it is. But for you being a man experiencing that abuse, that's a whole different level, you know?
So it was, and I dealt with that for 3 years. And I finally came to the point because I had prayed and asked God to show up and deliver me from this situation. Kind of like David in the Psalms, where he said, deliver me out of their hands, you know,
Yeah.
deliver me from the hands of mine enemies. I prayed that daily. But you know what, Heather? It never happened. That
I
never happened. And
I can relate to that so
the
much.
final straw, she had hit me, and I found out she'd been beating my daughter.
Oh no.
And I had a, is this a PG-13?
No, you can say whatever you want to. You're free
I
to.
had a fuck it moment
Yeah.
where I said, you know what? As much as I love pastoring, because the reason she was abusive was because I told her at one point that I had struggled with being gay.
Oh, wow.
And she thought it was the answer was to beat the gay out of me.
Oh, no.
And, you know, when I finally came to it and I said, fuck it, it's either my mental health or she's got to go. I called my pastor, well, not my pastor, but our state bishop. which our organization has different bishops over each state and different districts. And Tamara, you came up in an organization kind of like that, I believe. But, you know, when I went to him and I told him, I've been being abused for the past 3 years. I'm done. I'm getting rid of her. She's got to go. I'm getting a divorce. Instead of what I had expected was my brothers and my sisters in the ministry to gather around me and pray with me and see me through this whole situation. Let me tell you what they told me. If you divorce her, you're going to split hell wide open.
That is insane. See, that's the one thing that I cannot stand about religious spaces and how they will encourage you to stay in an abusive relationship with an abusive partner. And it's so disgusting. And I have seen it played out time and time again with men and women both, because they feel some reason that divorce is far worse than you getting beaten, abused by your partner like that. And it's so egregious, because God would never sit idly by and sit there and just watch you taking hits from the person that is supposed to love you and protect you. Like, that's
yes.
insane.
And, you know, my question was, well, okay. Because understand, in the organization, I was given the title of prophet,
yeah.
You know, because I worked in the gifts of prophecy and, you know, divination. But my thinking was back then, you know, when children made fun of Elijah, the Bible said that God sent a she-bear and mauled them.
Yes.
And these were children.
Children.
But you can't be there for me.
Yeah.
You can't protect me from one woman.
Yes.
But yet you mauled a bunch of children. That was my fuck it moment. I was done. I was out of it. I was not going to put up with that anymore. Now, she did slander my name, but the truth came out. She actually had my child taken away from me for a month. My ex-wife, my child's mother, and her got together and colluded a story that I was abusive. Of course, the police officers that showed up the night I left are on record saying that she was the one abusive, and I chose not to press charges because she had children involved, and I didn't want, you know, those children to have to uproot and leave home. Because she didn't abuse them. She abused me.
Did you find that fuck it moment an instant moment, or was it a progression of time? Like, were you debating it while you were still going to church? Was there any kind of conflict while you were still giving your
There
sermons
was.
and preaching? Or was it like, I'm done, I'm out?
There was a lot of conflict. A lot of the conflict was because of politics. Because the church that I was in, of course, we're in MAGA country.
Yeah.
And everyone that I know voted for the orange guy.
Same.
And so everyone in the church voted for him. They thought he was phenomenally awesome. And to be honest, because I was in the church, I drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. A lot
but
of people
when I
did.
started seeing when I started seeing the bullshit for what it was, and how anti-scriptural that was, the whole, you know, mistreatment of women, mistreatment of children. You know, Jesus himself said, you know, when you harm one of these, it's better that you have a millstone tied to your neck and thrown into the sea.
Yeah.
And yet the
that
church
scripture is overlooked.
The church is constantly throwing that shit under the rug.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was conflicted with me and who I was and my spirit. That's not what I signed up for.
Yep. I always tell people that I left the church because I followed Jesus right out the door, because he's not there anymore. He's not. It is literally the den of thieves, you know. It is the evil
right.
that the church warned us about has become the modern day church. Like,
and you know, I think if Jesus was to walk into a church building today, they wouldn't recognize him.
No.
They would want us to detain him.
Yeah, they'd want him deported, first of all, because he's brown skin, like,
Of
you
course,
know.
of course. You couldn't deport him to Mexico.
No.
And I don't think Palestine's on board with that crap.
Yeah.
So, but it's crazy because, I had a lot of conflicts because, growing up in the small Baptist church, we were taught that God is love. That, yes, there was some wonky bullshit in their doctrine too against the LGBT. But, I had even come to a point of wanting to die because I could not be who I was authentically.
Yeah, that is
And
so devastating.
there are a lot of LGBT people stuck in that very situation today because the church does not want to accept who they are as a whole. Now, I will say, are there affirming churches? Absolutely, there
Yeah.
are. The Episcopalian Church, the Lutheran Church,
The American
the
Catholic
Methodist,
Church.
right?
Right.
And but well, what surprised me a while back, and Tamara will get a kick out of this one, there's even an affirming Pentecostal church in our area.
Oh, that's crazy.
Okay, I have to say this. That is a complete oxymoron.
The pastor, but you're talking about people with actual love for society.
Yeah.
Those affirming churches, whether whatever, brand they choose, they're the real deal.
Yep.
Because those LGBT churches are also the ones bringing in the food pantries.
Yeah, they're doing the work.
They're doing the work. The Pentecostal church, actually, every Pride in Chattanooga, well, they not so much no more because they've kind of dwindled down in numbers because they're older, but they used to go to Chattanooga Pride and pass out waters and condoms.
That's
You know, if
awesome.
you
I
and
mean,
that you
that's what
if you
churches
don't
should do. You don't have to be an ally means to support and to love. It doesn't mean that I'm LGBTQIA. It means that I appreciate and I love you and I see you and I hear you.
yes.
And this is what it would be like if Jesus was walking a pride parade today.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I'm a firm believer that if Jesus was walking the earth today, he would have a rainbow boa on
Yes,
and
he
he would
would.
be walking the pride parades with them,
He
celebrating
would.
who they were as people.
Yes, he would be loving on all those people. He would not be shaming them or disparaging them or kicking them out of the house because
Nope.
they're gay. You know,
Right. Calling
all
them
the
names
harm.
or.
Like, it's crazy to see all the harm that is done to the
It is.
LGBTQIA plus
It is.
community and all the lives that are lost. Like, they don't understand how much their hatred costs the life of LGBTQIA plus people. You know, just the other day, I saw another article where another trans woman was murdered, and it's because of their hate. It is their hate that causes those deaths, and they don't realize that all that blood is dripping from their religious hands.
It is. And you know what, Heather? The sad part is they don't give a shit.
No, they don't. They don't because they think it's righteously justified. Because they're evil. So if I declare you evil, then I can write you off. I can unalive you, and that's okay because we are
Right.
allowed to eliminate evil. But the problem is their definition of evil doesn't match what God's definition of evil is.
That's absolutely right. And
Okay.
the
So
crazy
right.
thing is, number one, they don't care. Number two, what have we heard about the word empathy here lately? That is
That
an
it's
evil word.
sinful. We're
That is
going to
an evil
hell.
word. Empathy is an evil word. Well, if empathy is an evil word, then Jesus Christ, by your definition, is indeed evil.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
That's the crazy part. And so that those conflicts that I had, not just me and who I was, but me and what I was seeing within my own church doors, I was definitely having conflict with that and seeing the bullshit for what it was. And I came to that point, after leaving hurt. But it's crazy because you go through all that and you realize that maybe what I've been taught And even what I've been teaching, because understand, not only was I a gay man in the church, but I was a gay man preaching against who I was.
Yes. Yes. Same. I'm bisexual. I was an evangelist before I left the church. And same, I would preach against my own people, my own self. And so many of the things that I preached, I've deconstructed, like belief in hell, you know, things like that, that I thought were so true that I taught to other people, when in all reality, I was just propping up the system and using fear as a weapon, like every other preacher before me.
Let me just say this. And we felt justified, even though we identified as one of those, because we still felt we were carrying out God's good work.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
For the better good.
Right. And, you know, it was brainwashing. That's all it was brainwashing. And I will say, when I started deconstructing who I was as a Christian and who I was as a spiritual type person, a friend of mine introduced me to paganism. The very number one thing that I would preach against. Especially this time of year, Samhain. We did not celebrate Halloween.
You're talking to me. I'm a Celtic Christian, and Samhain is my new year now. And again, this would have been something that, like, my family thinks I'm crazy. I'm going to hell in a handbasket because I'm celebrating the devil's holiday. And I'm like, no, I'm just celebrating my Christian new year. You just don't know the origins of your own faith.
And, you know, it was crazy because now I've had a 180 turnaround, and now I'm all of a sudden observing the will of the year, doing what I once preached against. But my friend had introduced me to paganism, and I kind of was standoffish at first about that. Because as a Pentecostal, I had seen some things in the church. I had seen manifestations of things in the church. I knew that was real. But I didn't realize at the time, until I started studying witchcraft, paganism, I didn't realize I'd been doing that all along. And when people started using phrases like cone of power and stuff like that, and energy raising, I had that aha moment where it was like, wait, we were raising energy in the church. Because if you've ever been to a Pentecostal church, those services are very energetic.
Okay, I'm going to say this. And when they go to lay their hands on you, you can feel that tingling all the way through your body. I'm not sure if I have to write that off now that I don't believe, but I remember, like, ooh, and I also remember I've spoken to you. There were some I didn't want their hands on me.
Absolutely.
Like, I didn't want them to touch me at all. And I didn't understand why or what I do today.
It's but, their energy. You knew their energy.
Yes. And you know, even if you're a non-believer, even if you don't believe in deities and God, you cannot argue with science. Mm-hmm. And science says that we are all formed of energy.
Yes.
And if you put, I forgot what the name of the camera was, but if you put an infrared camera on somebody that's alive, you're going to see a red energy field.
Yep.
That's their energy. And energy is tangible.
And it can't ever be destroyed.
And it can never be destroyed and can never be created. Energy is just that. It's energy. And, you know, so, and energy does affect the human body. And to some people, if, you know, I studied Kundalini. Well, if you've ever looked into Kundalini, and I'm from the South, that's how we pronounce stuff. We don't pronounce it right, I know. But if you ever study Kundalini, they were speaking in tongues before the church was.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that energy rising up within you affects your body physically, and it manifests itself.
And even in the Bible, you know, we can see examples of, like, crystals being used for protection, like in the breastplate, you know, of armor. Crystals
Absolutely.
Are used for protection in that. So when Christians are shaming those things or demonizing them, they're actually demonizing the things that God gave us, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, And whether your belief is in one God or multiple gods, to me, God or gods is just humanity's way of telling how things started. I mean, it really is because, are they scientifically proven? No.
No.
But that's our human way of explaining how things are.
Yes. Which
And
leads me to this next question. Okay. And it's kind of deep. Do you still believe in a god or gods, or has that word kind of changed meaning for you? And how so?
I love that question. And, so that's a loaded question, and I love it because not only do I believe in God, but I believe in gods and goddesses.
Now you're speaking
And
my language.
understand, because in Christianity, we came out of such a patriarchal system.
Yes.
It was built for men. Tamara, you posted a beautiful video the other night about the guidelines for women versus the guidelines for men. And
And I will
I
say this, Chris. There are 60 scriptures in the Bible policing women's
Yes, there
autonomy,
are.
care, sexuality. There are only
Five.
Okay.
Five policing men.
I'm going to hit you with this one, Tamara. Did you know that Eve was indeed not Adam's first wife?
Well, I've heard that. I've heard that. Go
Lilith
ahead and explain, Lilith.
was Adam's first wife. Lilith, according to Jewish teachings, and when you're dealing with Christianity, you have to go back to Jewish teachings.
Yes.
According to Jewish manuscripts, Lilith would not be subservient to Adam. Lilith viewed herself as an equal to Adam and every bit as divine. And she was removed from Eden, and Adam was given this subservient woman to be his wife. Now,
Handpicked by God, I suppose, right? Yeah.
yes. Handpicked straight from his ribs. But and that's crazy because if you read the Bible, there are a lot of women who did indeed challenge the patriarchy.
Absolutely.
Deborah,
Absolutely. Phoebe.
Phoebe, who was a deacon.
Asherah, like we could go
Asherah,
on.
yeah. Junia was an apostle.
Yes, she was. And Christians, a lot of Christians don't even know about her.
Because they don't like scriptures that honor women.
No, they
And
don't.
here's the thing. Without the feminine, without the divine feminine, there is no creation.
No.
There is no life.
There is no healing. A
No.
lot of because witches were burned because they were the healers. They were the
Yes.
ones that were people would go to have miracles performed for them,
Yes,
and
absolutely.
the patriarchy took that away from us because they were scared
Absolutely.
of the power that women had.
Yes. And there's a drag queen Christian artist. I love oh gosh. Her name is Flamy
Flamy
Grant.
Grant. Oh,
And if you remember the 1990s Christian music, you know who that's an homage to is Amy Grant.
yes.
I used to love Amy Grant though. But Flamy Grant sings a song about, I forgot the name of the song. I think it was Rahab, Ruth, and Jezebel or something like that. But it talks about the th three characters in the Bible and every last one of those women, Rahab, Ruth, and Jezebel, if you go back into the genealogy of Christ, you'll see that they were within his bloodline.
Yes. And if you trace back the genealogy of Jesus, technically he wasn't in David's bloodline because Mary wasn't from David's bloodline, and his father had no part in his conception.
Which means, takes me to my next point, Jesus was a transgender male. Because there was no male procreation in that.
No, it was only a female. And only a
so
female, yeah.
So he only had female genes, but claimed to be a man. What's it sound like?
Yep.
But, you know, so...
I don't know. You'll need to break that down for the people in the back of the room.
Yep.
It's a long, drawn-out explanation for another time.
Okay.
But, you know, so going back... So my friend had introduced me to this wonderful thing called paganism. And one of the very first things I was introduced to was tarot readings, tarot cards. And I studied, and I actually went out and bought me a pack and started studying them. And I found out that my healing tool was tarot.
Oh.
I gained a lot of insight about who I was through a tarot deck, through a Rider-Waite tarot deck.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are easier to understand than even the Bible.
Oh, yeah. The Bible is not easy to understand.
But when you pull 72 cards, all you do is pull three.
Yeah.
And sometimes those three cards give you such a deep explanation into what you're going through. It's an insight into what you're going through and what you're dealing with and what you need to do to heal that.
Yeah.
And I began to realize that the stuff that I had preached about and preached against and even burned in fire pits were the tools that were starting to bring my healing.
Yes. It was the same for me. It was the same for me because it was so many of the things that were demonized in religious spaces were the things that I needed to help heal and grow in my spiritual path and get closer to the divine and, you know, be able to help other people heal as well. I could not operate in those gifts without, you know, walking away from that structure that demonized every other path that there was to access the divine. And that's really what it is. Christianity demonizes every single path that leads to the divine that they do not understand or they refuse to learn more about.
Right.
And most of the time, Chris, most of the time I have found, it's just my opinion, that most of us who have left are the defiant child.
Yeah.
We are the healers. We are the light bearers. We are the lighthouse. We are the ones that provide safe places. We are the women and men that have always been demonized for speaking our truths to power and being comfortable with the fact that we weren't like them.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that about the healers, because, of course, even as a Pentecostal pastor, you know, we laid hands on people and we saw miracles. We did. Yeah. But that brings me to my next thing is, what about healing your ancestral line?
That's what we're doing. That's what we are doing right here is healing that line. We are breaking those generational curses.
Absolutely.
We
and you
are,
know,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You,
we
you
were
know,
born for such a time as this.
And you know what's powerful was when I started studying the will of the year and observing the Sabbats and Espets. You know, like Samhain just passed, the pagan new year, the Celtic new year. And I felt drawn to do something this Samhain that I had never done. And that was to send healing energy to the past. And to acknowledge that my ancestors didn't know better.
Yeah.
They didn't know any better. They knew what they were taught and their education was limited.
Yes.
And so I acknowledged that on Samhain night, which was Friday for us. And I was able to, you know, first of all, I am a Reiki master. I practice energy healing all the time. But energy, as you know, doesn't have limits.
Yeah.
It doesn't know distance. There's no barrier for energy. And even though, I came from a line that was most likely a lot of racism,
Yeah.
they did not know better. That
No.
was who they were. There were no civil rights movements then.
Yeah.
There was nobody to tell them, hey, this is wrong, and this is why it's wrong. And so I felt to honor my ancestors. Yes, there are ancestors I don't venerate.
Same.
But to honor them, what I ended up doing was I do Reiki healing. And, part of Reiki is distance Reiki healing.
Yeah.
I was able to send energy, healing energy, back to that part of the bloodline, back down that far.
That is incredible.
And it was so powerful because I didn't just send energy. I'm a sound practitioner,
Yeah.
which I practice with sound bowls, and it's amazing. I love it. As a matter of fact, when I'm done here, I'm going to be doing a sound bath for my home.
Explain it for our listeners because some of
Yeah.
us may not understand that. So be more descriptive in what it
Hold
is
on.
the
Hold
sound.
on. Hold on. I'll do better than that.
Ooh, he's gonna
You'll have to
share with
talk, though,
us.
too, while you show us.
Yes.
He's got a mic though, so he can actually.
So,
Perfect.
I'm
Okay.
going. So, energy healing is based on frequency. And frequencies affect your energy, whether you know it or not. There are certain frequencies that are meant for healing. There are certain frequencies. And I've actually had coaching sessions, spiritual coaching sessions, where all I do is I play a sound bowl for about half a minute.
Yeah.
And there are people who will have emotional releases because that frequency aligns with the healing they need.
That's why worship music is styled and designed the way it is. It's
Exactly.
to elicit an emotional response from you, and it
Yeah.
works. It works.
Yes. Why do you think people get so excited during worshipful times, and then during the altar call or invitational, if you will, they get so mournful, they get so tearful and
Yep.
sad, and they feel the need to hit the altar? There is psychology and energy in frequency. And so when you do something like this, it's just a gentle sound. And when you allow sound to permeate the air, it changes the atmosphere of the place. What do you think the purpose of music is? I mean,
And the different beats of music, like the church
yes.
service starts off with, prayer and thanksgiving as you enter service. Then it goes to the testimonial type of music and the praise and worship type of music. Then it has the special music during the ministry when the ministers are speaking or when they're feeling really anointed of God, at least in our Pentecostal churches. And then we have the wind down service, to where you're going to be emotional and you're going to cry and you're going to feel the presence of
Oh yeah,
God.
well, and I don't know if you know this, but when because I went, I went to seminary. One of the first classes you take is psychology of worship, and they explain the reasons why things work. And see, in the country churches that don't do seminary, they don't understand it, but they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Very
Exactly.
well.
Yes.
And energy can be used to heal. And when your body gets lined up with these frequencies, it begins to do things. Even the earth has a frequency.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever went barefooted outside or not.
I do it all the time. I'm a barefoot baby.
Me too. I've
I
even
want to
barefoot.
feel a connection with the earth.
Me too.
Yes.
Whenever I'm feeling really distraught, I will find myself at the beach, burying my feet in the sand to the point that the waves will wash over it because it grounds me and it makes me know where I'm at right now, today,
Yes.
here and now.
And there are times like, well, okay, so I've lost a lot of weight over the years. And One of the things that I used to suffer with was gout. Don't know if you've ever dealt with gout.
No.
Gout is very painful. It is debilitating at times.
Yeah. I had a coworker
And
that had it once. There were times when he couldn't even come into work because he couldn't walk, you know?
one of the things when I left Christianity and I started seeking out spirituality versus religion, and there's a huge difference. One of the things I was taught was to not really discount modern medicine, but don't discount what the ancestors did either.
Yes. Look to the earth. Look to the earth
Look to
because
the
she
earth.
provides so much
Earth Mother
healing.
is a healer and a provider.
Yes.
And, a friend, my cousin last night was posting, we out in the country where my grandparents used to live is nothing but development now.
Yeah.
Subdivisions
Yeah.
all around that place. It's no longer gorgeous fields and pastures.
Yeah.
And people tend to forget right behind that is a stream. It's a big creek. And I remember going to that creek as a child and putting my feet in that water and allowing that to wash over. And when I was having my gout inflammations, my dad, whose mother was a Christian, she was a Pentecostal woman, but she was on the low witch. She was a what we call an Appalachian granny witch.
I believe my mama was, but she just didn't know it because she had premonitions and she could predict things. Like when I was pregnant with my
Right.
twins, she told me exactly when I was going to have them. And then when I had my youngest child, she literally told me before I went into labor, she said, "You're not going to believe me, but you're going to have that baby on my birthday again." And I had already had twins on her birthday. And I was like, "Mama, you're crazy. There's no way I'm going to have this baby on your birthday. I already had the twins on your birthday. Like you've lost it." And sure as crap, I went into labor in the middle of the night
Wow.
the day before, but my baby was born the next day. Yeah.
On her birthday.
On her
You
birthday.
have
So I have
three
three
babies on the
babies.
same
That
day.
was on my mom's birthday. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, my granny always told my parents and aunts and uncles, you got to let those babies run barefooted out in the yard. You can't let them put shoes on because they're not going to heal from anything. And I
Yeah.
remember my grandmother saying that to run barefoot. Well, we had exhausted all options for gout.
Yeah.
And I remembered my grandparents saying that. And so what I do in the 35 degree December cold, I threw my shoes off, took my socks off, went out on the ground for 30 minutes, freezing feet. And I will say this, I have not had gout inflammation since. Not saying that is that healed me,
Yeah.
because people with gout have issues all the time. But whenever I have an inflammation, I go out on the ground barefoot.
So, Chris, you
Oh, go
have
ahead.
left the church. You have found your own spiritual path and healing. So, what would you say to someone who is still sitting in a church right now, feeling that nudge that something doesn't fit anymore?
Don't ignore that nudge. Do not ignore that voice. And that voice is not the devil. That voice is not a spirit trying to deter you away from the path of righteousness. I know your pastor would say that.
But it's God. That
But
voice is God.
it is God. It is universe. It is source.
Yep.
And don't ignore that. Because if something's not right within your spirit, it's not right. It's not right for you.
And if somebody is listening and wants reconnecting with nature or exploring spirituality outside of religion, what are some small steps that they could start taking to start their journey.
Some small steps that I would definitely encourage, first of all, go out in nature alone. Go out, find you a trail that leads somewhere quiet. Maybe even by a waterfall. Me and Clint, we love waterfalls.
Me too. Oh my gosh, the mountains and waterfalls. That's my thing. T loves the beach, but it's the mountains for me.
Some state parks can be rather busy, But if you can get out in the woods by yourself, take a journal with you. That's one thing we tell about in Druidry is journaling. We journal
Yes.
our experiences.
It's the same way with the Celts because, we got our ancient wisdom just from being out in one with source, and that's where the Desert Fathers and our teachings come from, is them being out there and spending that time.
And of course, you said you're Celtic Christian. I'm a Celtic pagan. The Druids were from the Celtic lands.
Yeah.
And our ancestors migrated over here. Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the entire Southeast has a lot of Celtic influence. But one thing I would say is journal your experience in nature. Get a quiet spot, quiet within yourself, and listen to what the spirit of the Earth Mother says. You can hear it in many ways. You can hear it in the rustling of the leaves, the wind. You can hear her loud ass voice in the waterfall. I mean, there are so many ways in which Earth Mother speaks.
Oh, absolutely.
And that voice is audible. You don't have to listen to that voice within your spirit. That voice is audible to where you can hear it here, and not just here, but you end up hearing it in both places at the same time.
Yes.
And, growing up, in the church and being coming up in the church, where we're always told, well, the pastors and the prophets are the only ones that hear from God. And if you're hearing from something else, you're hearing from Satan, especially
Yes.
if it's telling you something opposite of what I'm telling you. And see, that's what hope will hold you down.
Especially if you're a female.
Yes. And so what I would say to those who are listening, pull back from the church a little bit. And if church is your solace, I don't want you to leave. But if that's where you find solace, but if something's in your spirit telling you something's not right here, pull away, isolate in nature for a couple of hours. Listen to the rustle, listen to the wind, listen to the water. They're all speaking and telling you something. And that's what we teach in Druidry, is to listen to Earth Mother. Because she speaks.
Yes.
That's what the Native Americans did. They listened
Absolutely.
to Mother Earth. She speaks. Why do you think their lives were so long? Because they listened to the healer.
And I have to just say right here, the whole Pocahontas song is just flowing through my mind at the moment. So
Colors of
thank
the Wind?
you. It'll be in
Colors
my
of the
head
Wind?
all day.
Yes. And Druidry and Celtic religion, spirituality, it's all about indigenous spirituality.
It is. It's all about oneness with nature and oneness with each other. We see God in all things that have life. We see God all around us in everything. And I think that's where Christianity gets it wrong, because
Yes.
we actually judge who we see God in and who we don't. And if
Yes.
we, pick up on anything that we are taught is evil, then we can automatically write them off and not even try to see the God that is in them, even though it's already there, and I hate that. I hate that so much because I want to be able to see the goodness in people.
We are all part of the divine spark.
Yep. Yes.
And
Collective consciousness.
which means I see divinity in everybody.
Yep. Same.
I don't see it in just one person, even if it's a shitty person.
Yes.
Someone was telling me the other night, we need to get together as witches and we need to perform spells against Donald Trump. Okay, but here's what we need to do. We need to send him positive energy.
Yeah. Because
Because
if you're
he can.
cursing him, you're no better than he is.
And what you send out into the universe comes back to you always.
And it comes back even greater than what you
Yes.
put it out there.
And a lot of people, well, why would you want what's best for him? Well, why wouldn't you? Because justice comes and justice is what's best. But our version of justice and the universe's version of justice isn't always the same.
No, it's not. So,
And
okay, Chris, we're coming up, wrapping up here at the end here. So, if you had any words of encouragement, or do you have any possible book recommendations or things that you could encourage our listeners to check into if they're interested in learning more about your spiritual practices?
okay, so one book that I would highly recommend is, and I just started reading it, and it's already a very powerful book, and I'm at 1% on my phone, so let me be quick. So one book is Celtic Magic by Christopher Hughes.
Okay.
Very awesome book. Another one is Druid Power. I forgot what the lady's name was, but it's a very good book. You can also follow me on TikTok.
Okay, we will definitely link you in the show notes.
I will be making sure that I'm starting to post more and more. But and just message me on Facebook, Chris Bridges. You'll see my ugly mug.
You are not ugly. And let me
But
tell your message. Let me tell people who are listening to this today, when he says message him, he absolutely means that. He will reach out to you, and if you have questions, he'll respond. That's one thing I've learned about Chris over the years, is that if you're interested, he's not here to change you, but he is here to help you and provoke your curiosity. So, Chris, thank you for that.
thank you all.
This is such a fun and deep conversation. Thank you so much, Chris, for being so open and so real with us.
Yes, thank you for showing that spirituality doesn't fit into one box, whether it's a pulpit or a pine forest. The divine is everywhere.
Oh, and this is going to be hard for me to say. Amen to
And
that.
we get that. All right, y'all, don't forget to like, share, and send this episode to someone who needs to hear that it's okay to evolve. See you next
See you
time.
next time.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.